Praise is something that we do of our own volition. We give praise unto God. We sacrifice our praise. We bring our offerings of praise unto Him. Worship comes in the middle of praise when you enter into the presence of God and where you really are worshiping Him. And he made this statement. He said, a person can praise the Lord for hours, but you can only worship Him for a few minutes. Because when you enter into pure worship, it involves every part of you, spirit, soul, and body. And when you really come into a worship experience with God, everything else just fades away. Everything else pales, and it's you and God. And it takes you, and it taxes you. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you have worshiped God tonight? Okay, do you know what I'm talking about? Now, I know when I begin to worship God, and sometimes I'll praise the Lord, for this is why we have praise songs and why we have praise psalms, why we read the psalms, why we share the scripture, why we encourage one another to praise God, because it's in praise that you enter into worship. And worship is that pure communion, that pure fellowship with God, where it's you and He only. And you've entered into a relationship with Him with all of your being. I know when I've entered into worship because the perspiration just begins to pour off me. It'll just start to go. And it need not be in a worship service like this. Sometimes it'll just be in private devotion. All of a sudden you'll be praying and you'll just be seeking God, and the next thing you know, you begin to praise Him. And you may not even feel like praising Him. You lift your hands and you just say, Father, I love You. I just adore You, Jesus, and I want to know how much I appreciate You and how good You've been to me and how thankful I am for the life that You've given me and for the wonderful things that You've done in my life. And then you begin to pray in the Spirit. And the first thing you know, you just get lost in the Spirit. Now that's worship. When you get off with God, just you and He, worshiping the Lord. And I don't know that everybody responds the same way I do, but I know how I respond. And sometimes I'll praise the Lord 30 seconds and enter right into worship. Sometimes we may sing three or four songs. And some of you may wonder, well, why do we sing so many songs when we come together and have a song service? Why don't we sing one here, and then let's do something else, and then let's sing one down here, and then let's do something else, and then 15 or 20 minutes later, let's sing another one, and then let's spread them out a little bit. Well, the reason we don't do that is that praise is the gateway that draws us into worship with God. And sometimes because of the condition that we come into God's house, sometimes we come in more ready to worship Him than at other times. Sometimes we can enter into worship with just a few, we begin to praise Him and all of a sudden we're in worship. And the next time we come, it may take three or four songs before you ever really enter into worship. And in many worship services, you may come and go and never really worship the Lord. But it is something that we should seek in our praise time with God, that we should seek for that place where we enter into Him. And I'll tell you the one thing that I know of that will keep you away from worship, the thing that will keep you out of a worship experience, the most effective thing I know of, and that is to allow your mind to be engaged in other matters, especially to be engaged with what is everybody else doing? What is everybody else thinking? What's that person next to me thinking? And you see, you take your mind off the Lord. You begin to draw back, you see, in your praise, and then you never really enter into that worship experience. The fastest way I know to enter into pure worship is just to freely praise Him. That's why God's Word is so full of instruction. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord. And that's why you hear me exhort you at virtually every service. And James the same way. Some may wonder, well, why would it be necessary to instruct God's people to lift their hands? Because it's an expression of praise. And as we praise Him, we enter then into worship, you see. So I've had a good time worshiping the Lord thus far tonight. I anticipate to worship Him some more. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Mark, the 4th chapter. I just want to share. Ken, perhaps you could turn that down just a little wee bit for me back there. Mark, the 4th chapter. the 26th verse. Now, I don't know precisely what the Lord wants to do with this, but it is a passage of Scripture that I feel led to share, and feel led to share it right here. Jesus has been talking with His disciples in this fourth chapter about seed and sowing seed. And He tells in the early part of chapter 4, the parable about the sower having gone out to sow the seed. And you'll remember the familiar story, how He said that some fell on the hard path, some fell on stony ground where there wasn't much earth, some fell among the thorns and the brambles, others fell on good ground. And He said that that which fell on the first three types of ground never did bear anything. That which fell on the good soil bore fruit, some of it 30, some of it 60, and some of it 100-fold. And He's teaching in this entire fourth chapter about seed and sowing seed. Now, it's important for us as we understand the passage that we're going to read beginning in 26, is to know what the symbols are that Jesus is using here. He tells us in the early part of the chapter that the sower is the Son of Man, Jesus Himself, and that the seed is the Word of God. So as He's talking here about the seed in the 26th verse and through the 29th, I want you to think about the Word of God. Now, Jesus is teaching His disciples through a parable. And He said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Now, Jesus is teaching His disciples here, and He's teaching us something about the Word of God. He said that a man goes out and puts seed in the ground. He said the kingdom of God and the sowing of the Word of God is just like putting good seed in good ground. And what happens when you put good seed in good ground? You go to bed at night, you get up in the morning. You go to bed the next night, you get up the next morning. You go to bed the next night, you get up the next morning. You do your daily routine just like normal. You're not concerned with what has happened with the seed that you have put in the ground. You've planted it in the ground, and then you go on about your business. And Jesus said, what happens to that seed while this man is sleeping and rising and going about his daily activity without watching the seed? What's happening to the seed? The seed that went in the ground should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Jesus said the man puts the seed in the ground. The gardener puts the seed in. The farmer puts the seed in. The homeowner puts his grass seed in, his flower seeds in. He goes on about his business, and one day, voila, the seed has sprung up. He didn't do anything. All he did was put it in the ground and go on about his business, and all of a sudden there's grass growing, or there's petunias growing, or there's beans growing, or corn, or whatever kind of seed he sowed. He doesn't understand what happened. He doesn't know exactly what's taking place, but he knows that if he puts the seed in the ground, that the seed will come up without his attention and without his nurturing and without his concern, that the seed and the laws of God that have to do with sowing and growing are inviolable, that they will come to pass. In verse 28, he says, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." Of herself. Of herself. Of herself. Now, I believe Jesus would ask this question if he were ministering this tonight. How many of you could take a bean seed and hold it in your hand for 3 weeks and cause it to germinate and spring up, and then in 6 or 8 more weeks, you'd be picking beans out of your hand? Doesn't work that way. You don't have the power in you, you see, in your hand to cause that bean to germinate and produce fruit. But God has ordained in His law, in His way of things, God has ordained a way that if you'll take the bean seed and do with it what you're supposed to do, and that is put it in the ground, that the laws of nature, the ones that God has established in His creation, they will go to work for you while you do the rest of the things that you have to do. And bless God, out of that part of the ground that you've sowed the seed, you know what happens? Beans will come up. Beans will come up. First the blade, he said. Here he's talking about grain. First the blade shows through the ground. And then he said the kernel begins to show, or the ear begins to show. And then if you'll wait long enough, and if you'll wait for God's time, and if you'll wait for the fullness of God's time, and if you'll wait for the ways of God's laws to work, what happens to that seed that you have planted? First the blade, then the ear, and then the full kernel. And it's ready for the harvest. And when you see that, then you go and harvest it. Now, believe what God would have us to see through this, the same thing Jesus trying to teach His disciples. Men and women of God sow the Word of God. Children of God, brethren and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, sow the Word of God. Sow nothing but God's Word, but sow the Word. And I believe Jesus probably had in mind this passage of Scripture from the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Jesus of all men knew the Scriptures. He knew the promises of God. And God said this in Isaiah 55. This chapter, I know I say this about every chapter we read, but this chapter is one of the best. In all of God's Word, it's so sweet and it's so rich and it's so full of good stuff. You just can't hardly read one that won't minister to you. Beginning to read at verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. He said, in just the same way, exactly in the same way, that the rain and the snow come down from heaven. Anybody ever see rain and snow go back up to heaven? He said, and returneth not thither, with the same assurance that the rain and snow come down and not go up, and that when they do come down, as they water the earth, and they give nourishment to the earth, so that it brings forth buds and bloom. In the same way that that happens in the realm of nature, so shall it be with the Word of God, that when it goes forth, it will not return void, but it will accomplish what God intended for it to do, and it will prosper in the thing which God intended for it to prosper. Jesus said, in the same way that you put the seed of corn in the ground, in God's earth, in the earth that He created, and go on about your business and leave it there, and let God's laws go to work, that word, do you know what will happen to it? Just like that grain of corn will begin to spring up, and all of a sudden you'll get a blade. And then after a little while, there's no more blade, there's now ear. Then after a little while, that ear fills out and you have fruit that is ready to eat, ready to pick. In the same way, the Word of God, when it goes forth, God's laws take over, and the Word of God goes into the ground, into good soil, into fertile hearts. And regardless of whether you see anything springing up out of those hearts or not, does not determine whether the Word of God went there or is in there, because eventually God said, if you will sleep and rise up and go on about and do your business, that the Word of God having gone into that heart, do you know what will happen to it? It will not die there. It will not go to waste there. God will see to it in accordance with His laws and His ways of doing things that that word will spring up. First a little blade. First a tiny little blade. How many of you have ever seen a cornfield? I know you all have, but I should have asked you this. How many of you have noticed a cornfield when the corn is just beginning to spring up. All you can see is field. It doesn't look like much, does it? You see field, and you've got to get right down close, like this, to see those little things. They just stick, just like this. Little teeny things like that, sticking up out of the ground. And if you drive by on the highway and you look out there and someone says, is the corn up yet? You say, no. You say, no. But if you'd stop and get out of the car, you see, and go out and walk in the field and go up and down the row, you'd see that every 6 inches, 2 feet apart, there's corn, 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 up and up and comes. The little green blades, you see. Now, sooner or later, after that blade begins to get a little more size on it, now you go by and you see more blade and less ground, don't you? Once that corn begins to grow, and as it gets the rain, as it gets the hot summer sun, the first thing you know, all you can see is what? Corn. All you can see is a green field, and you can't see the dirt anymore. And you watch, and then the ears begin to come forward after the tassel. Then the ears. And then the fullness of the kernel. And when you see the fullness of the kernel, you send the reapers out. Let's get it in. Let's get it in. Now, the Word of God is like that. So many of us are not willing to wait for the Word of God to grow inside us and or inside those that we are sharing it with. We want to put the seed in the heart, and we want to have French-style beans for dinner that day. We want to sow the seed in the heart of the sinner, and we want him preaching in place of Billy Graham the next day. Don't we? Is that right or not? We're not willing to wait for the laws of God, you see, which will never, ever fail. Now get that. God's laws do not fail. They oftentimes take time, but they don't fail. Praise God, we're seeing the full kernel, aren't we? Just coming to church tonight. And I said to Lois, I won't share what that is, but I mentioned to Lois how God has answered a prayer for us and how we're seeing the full fruit now, the full fruit. But it didn't come overnight. It didn't happen just like that. We put the seed in the ground long time ago and then went on about our sleeping and our rising, our ministering for God, our praying, our singing, our worshiping, our loving, our serving, our eating, all those things which we do, and allowed God's laws to go to work concerning that situation. And God will do the same thing for you, for every one of you, as long as you're operating in His Word. Now let me show you something out of the Proverbs that all of us as believers need to know. I turn over to Proverbs chapter 4, and while you're turning there, let me just say this. I think I've said this before, but it bears repeating because I think we forget. Oftentimes we will sow seed, the seed of the good Word of God, and then before the plant can even come up, we're out digging in the garden, trying to see whether it's growing or not. Now let me ask you this. If you take, I've been using a bean seed for an example. Suppose you take, how many of you have ever planted beans? Oh, come on, more of you have planted beans than that. How many of you have planted beans? Okay. Because if you haven't, I'll ask you about squash or something more native. When you take a bean seed and you put it in the ground and you go out the first day and you look at it, do you see anything coming up out of the ground usually? How about the second day? Third? No, not usually for a number of days. 7-8 days probably if your ground is moist. Now suppose about the fourth day, you're like, I wonder whether that seed is even still there. I don't see anything coming up. I wonder if the birds came and got it. I wonder if maybe I didn't even put one there, and I thought I did. I might, you know, just really been messed up. And so you would go out and you would dig around where that seed was, and you would pull the dirt away from it and lift us. Yeah, sure enough, it's still there. Well, okay. And you put it back down the ground, cover it up now. Now, 3 or 4 more days go by, and you go out and you check it again. There isn't anything there. So you, well, something must be wrong. It must be a dead seed. I must have got a bad seed. I'm going to check it and see if it's sprouted yet. So you dig down there and you pick it up in your hands. No, it hadn't done anything yet. It's still there. Seed's still all right. Looks okay. And they put it back in the ground again. Now, about August time, everybody has got a belly full of beans except you. Because every 4 days you're digging up the seed. When you put it back in the ground, it's the same way it was 4 days ago. And every time you dig it up, it never changes. And you put it back in, it never has a chance to germinate and to grow. I've seen children, and those of you who have children have all seen this happen, where the child, in planting a garden, and will do the very thing that I've just described, and will go out into the garden or in school. Sometimes the teachers will have them plant seed, bean seeds or grass or things like that. And they'll want to see what it looks like, and they'll dig it up, and it will be starting to sprout. And there'll be tender little shoots coming out of the seed. And the child will pick it up, and he'll look at it, oh, isn't that beautiful, and examine it, and break all those off, you know, in the handling, and put it back in the ground, and do you know what you get? Nothing. Nothing. Don't get anything. See? Now, we all know what we're talking about, you see, when we talk about the natural seed. But what happens when you do that with God's Word, which is the seed that the Son of Man sowed, the seed that Jesus was talking about? What happens when you sow that seed and are constantly digging around with your shovel, constantly jerking it out of the earth, constantly wondering, is anything happening? The husbandman hath patience. The farmer, that is, hath patience to await the produce of the seed he's sown. And so shall it be also for the children of God as they sow the word of God. Now, are you over in Proverbs 4? Let's read here, in beginning to read in verse... let's read just the first verse. I want to read 9 or 10 verses there and then select out a couple of things, and I want you to see something here that I think would be helpful. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now, Solomon is given instruction here concerning someone whom he calls her. He keeps referring to her. And I want us to see who her is. Look at verse 4. Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Decline neither from the words of my mouth. He uses several words here to describe the same thing. He says in verse 4 that her is words. Decline not from the words of my mouth. Keep my commandments, which is the word of God. Get wisdom. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians, that Jesus has been made wisdom unto us, that all wisdom and all knowledge is contained in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible also says that Jesus is the living Word. The Word of God is wisdom. The Word of God is His commandment. The Word of God is understanding. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. All right, now the verse I want you to see is verse 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Exalt who? Exalt the Word. Exalt the Word of God, and the Word of God will promote you. Lift up God's Word. Declare God's Word, and allow the Word of God to promote you. Allow the Word of God to lift you up. Allow the Word of God to minister to you. Exalt the Word. Exalt the Word, and the Word shall promote thee. Now, there's a message in that, I think, for each of us individually and for us as a part of the body of Christ. And this passage of Scripture says these words to me, just this many, that if I personally, as a minister of the gospel, and as a man committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and called by God to serve Him in this way, if I will continually, constantly, always exalt the Word of God, I need not be concerned about myself or my own needs. If we, as the water of life, portion of the body of Jesus Christ, will exalt God's Word, put it always first, promote God's Word, promote the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, not be concerned, what are we concerned about ourselves? But exalt His Word. Why? Because if we will exalt the Word itself will promote the ministry. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now that's very important to us. And it also helps to keep us on that straight and narrow path where God has established us. It'll keep us from slipping off into a, we got something you ain't got, kind of mentality. The Word of God says, exalt the Word, and it, that is the Word itself, will promote you. Now, how does that fit together? What I want you to see is that God's promise through the prophet Isaiah in the 55th chapter, and also through the Lord Jesus Christ in the 4th chapter of Mark, is this. When you speak the Word of God, when you declare the Word of God, when you put forth the Word of God, it becomes God's responsibility to see that that Word produces blade, then ear, then full kernel, ready for the harvest. It is not yours, nor is it mine. We have one responsibility and one obligation, and that is to declare the Word of God, to promote the Word of God, to exalt the Word of God. That includes, of course, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the Word, isn't He? He is the living Word. And then while we sleep, and while we rise up, while we cut the grass, and while we prune the hedges, while we cook the meals, and while we run our companies, God's laws of sowing and growing and reaping are all at work. If you sow the Word of God where you live, if you sow it in your house, that's what's going to come up in your family. If you sow it where you work, that's what's going to come up. If you sow the Word of God into the heart of your unsaved loved ones, do you know what's going to happen? While you sleep and while you rise up, You see, while you wash your dishes and while you comb your hair, God is doing the work with His Word. Our responsibility is to sow it. God's responsibility, and then leave it. God's responsibility is to cause it to grow. Exalt the Word. The Word will promote thee. Jesus said, let me just read those scriptures again now out of Mark 4. I want you to get a hold of this. Now it's important. And He said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. There's a power in the Word of God that we don't know anything about. There's an ability and a potential in the Word of God that we don't understand. But Jesus said that if we'd sow it, that God would see that it would grow and that it would produce fruit. And it matters not. Sometimes I have to remind myself of this, that it matters not what you see on the surface of that cornfield. It matters only to know what kind of seed you put in the ground. And if you've put in the Word of God, even though it may still be a dirt field, dry, dusty, and dirty, if it's got God's Word sown in it, God by Himself will bring forth first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full kernel, and then the harvest. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee that You have removed the responsibility from us for causing the seed to grow. That's Your job. Ours is only to put it in the ground and then to leave it there and to believe You to do what You said You would. And I pray, Father, that these words that we've shared tonight will minister to each one of us who are here tonight. I pray, Father, that You will cause what I've said tonight to be ministered by Your Holy Spirit deep down in our spirits. That while, even though we may not understand everything that's been said in a clear enough way that we could explain it to somebody else, we understand enough of it that we're able to believe You and act upon it. And Father, this prayer I pray for myself and for every person who is here and also for this entire ministry. And that is that in everything that we do, in everything that we say, in every one of our counsels or proclamations, that we would exalt the Word. And yes, even the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll leave the promotion of the work up to You. For we're going to obey the words of Solomon, exalting the Word and allowing the Word to promote us. Father, we just make that consecrated prayer unto You. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that the Word of God says clearly to us is that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, so loved you and me that He gave the most precious that He had, the Lord Jesus. Let's just have a moment of prayer. Would you please just close your eyes and Just join with me as we come before our Heavenly Father and just seek His mind and His heart tonight. Our Father, we thank You for the lengths that the Lord Jesus went, all the way to Calvary and beyond that. When we think what He bore for us, Father, it's more really than we can take in. But we know He did because You sent Your Spirit into our hearts to make real the truth that Jesus died for us, that we have life with Him, and that it truly is His life that's being lived in us. Father, we thank You that it does make a difference to receive Jesus. That it really is a new birth. That there really is a new life there. That You make all things new. You take the old sin, You take the old dirt, You take the old hurt, You take the old pain and the agony, and You cause it to be washed away in the sea of Your forgetfulness. You wash us whiter than snow in His blood. Father, we receive that. We receive that, Father. We bless You for it. In Jesus' name. Father, we humbly bow before You now. Humbly as subjects before their King. We've worshiped before Your heavenly throne today, Father. We've sought Your face in prayer. We've rejoiced before You in our salvation. You've ministered to us out of Your word. Now, our Father, we just bow humbly before You, inviting You to do in us and through us whatever is pleasing in Your sight. Father, here's a group of Your children who love You. Oh, glory to God, who love You, who honor You, and who seek You now to know, Father, if You have something that You want to share with us tonight. Anything, Father, that You'd like to minister to us, either quietly or aloud through the gifts of Your Spirit. We wait upon You, Father, to move as You desire.